Welcome to the jungle. A very good Wednesday to you. My name is Jim Rome. We have got an awesome show. Really, really good show for you. So let me set it up. We are broadcasting from the Quicken Loan Studios. You know this. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. Welcome to the program. All right, telephone number is toll-free. I'm going to backload. I've got two of the three interviews in hour number three, so good time to get through is right now. 1-800-636-8686. You know what I will talk about, and you know what I will not talk about. You know, clones. I don't think I need to lay that out there. You just know. You know what I will talk about, and you know what I will not talk about. Start dialing. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitake.com. All right, so the interviews look like this. Coming up in hour number one, PGA Tour pro John Rahm. We have never had him on the program. I've been trying to get him on the program, so I'm fired up for that. That's coming up in about 35 minutes from right now. John Rahm coming up at 9:40 Pacific time. Second hour is wide open. Third hour is jammed up. TJ Dillashaw, UFC bantamweight champ, has got a big fight coming up. He returns to the jungle. We'll have that in the third hour. Julian Love, a 2019 NFL draft prospect and a former corner for Notre Dame, joins us in hour number three. So you Domer fans, Domer Nation, I know we're all about that. 1-800-636-8686. Go ahead. Start dialing right now. Follow me on Twitter. Go to our Instagram page. Go to my Facebook page. Man, hit up social. Do that for me, if you don't mind. Let me start with some NBA. Also, must listen. Jim Rome Podcast, Ep 66, Pat Perez. You clones loved it. I knew you would. Getting a lot of reaction to that podcast, which dropped yesterday. I want to reset that, too. All right, starting with the NBA, though. Last night was a showdown. Showdown in the NBA. Golden State v. Denver. The best team in the West versus the Golden State Warriors. At least that's what it said from a record standpoint. Denver went into last night with the best record in the West, having won 12 straight at home. And like Golden State a few years back, they're the team that nobody saw coming. I mean, this team just missed the playoffs last year. And for the first half of this year, they've been the best team in the best conference. They've got a legit MVP candidate. They barely had their starting five together. What I'm saying is they are legit. Denver is legit. And then last night, they ran into a legit buzzsaw. Golden State dropped 51 on their heads. Not in the first half, in the first quarter. A new NBA record for points in a single quarter. Yeah, you guys have got the best record in the West. Here's a 50 spot, a 50 piece, and one. Golden State comes out. They hit 10 threes in the first quarter. They ended that game immediately. So that showdown turned into a beatdown. Final score, 142-111. Golden State just beat the team with the best record in the West by 31 in their own house. Steph Curry, 31. Klay Thompson, 31. Kevin Durant, 27. Draymond Green, 13 assists. And yes, the game had the usual ridiculousness, like Curry taking threes from an entirely different zip code.
You know what he wants.
Oh, he backed up on Jokic. Oh! That was from Colorado Springs!
But that was not just about the threes. Last night was not just about Curry, and it was not just about Golden State burying Denver from deep. It was also about Klay, Alexander, Thompson. And it was not about his threes. It was about his filthy, filthy dunks. Now, as you know, Klay is a shooter. He is not a dunker. And as you probably know, everybody lets him know about that. Except last night, he put the entire league on notice. He put the entire world on notice. You knew there was something different about Golden State last night when this happened in the first quarter.
Free throw. Klay around Jokic. Oh, Klay Thompson! A right-hand hammer!
Throw it down, big man! That wasn't a hammer. That was the entire hardware store. Hey-o. Draymond Green reacts like Draymond sees that and he reacts like they just got another ring. That's how rare a Klay Thompson dunk is. The first dunk of the night was only his eighth of the season. He's had games with more threes than he has total dunks the entire year. A few days back, he scored 43 on a total of four dribbles. In other words, He does not mess around with dunks. The ball goes into his hands and into the hole from long range. Except last night. Last night, my guy turned into Dominique Wilkins. My man threw down not one, not two, not three, but four dunks in a single night. Roll the montage.
Free throw. Play around Jokic. Oh, Klay Thompson. Thompson's got to beat Jokic. He went to try to swipe.
Yeah, and you don't want to look back. And Klay gets him.
Denver has emptied the bench. Klay with a steal. Klay, four dunks in a game. And the bench is going nuts.
Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant are out near the free throw line.
That last one was the absolute best. That last dunk was so great. Pay special attention to that final dunk. Because the best part is not the four dunks. It's the fact that after the fourth dunk, Klay was raising the roof repeatedly. Golden State bench was practically at midcourt celebrating. And then after the game, he was still fired up. He was so amped, he couldn't even remember what he said when he was texting trash talk to former teammate Zaza Pachulia about their dunk competition. He even actually started to text him once again during the post-game interview.
That was nice, man. I felt better than hitting 10 threes, to be honest.
Did he get a chance to talk some trash out with Zaza? Or?
Yeah, he texted me right after the game. Said he's never seen me have four dunks. I told him I've never seen him. I don't know. I said something good, but he was right there to let me know that he saw the bounce for once.
You know what the dunk counter between you two is?
I got to be winning this year.
It's
11-1. Ha! Good. I'm going to text him that right now, actually. You have one dunk. I have 11 this year. Pay me.
Pay me. He was impressed. He should be. Except now Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant now was not nearly as impressed with Klay Thompson as Klay Thompson was impressed with Klay Thompson.
Enjoy the Klay dunk show out there.
Not much, because dunks don't look that good.
How much is he talking right now after the dunk show?
He's excited about those, probably his last four dunks of the year, though.
They tell him they got to be a little prettier?
Yeah, they kind of greased, he greased those in. He's 6'7", he should be jumping a little higher than that.
He's 6'7", he should be jumping a little higher than that. I don't know, my man had four. And more importantly, for anybody who doubted, last night, they look like the old Warriors. Not the Warriors being old. Hey-o. They were having fun. They were sharing the ball. They were absolutely shredding a very good team. Yeah, but don't get it twisted. To a man, the Warriors were very clear that they were not looking to make a statement. Draymond Green to NBC Sports Bay Area, quote, "Nah, we don't have to remind them. They know." Durant to the world, quote, "They know who we are," end quote. All right. That said, still a statement. Maybe not a statement meant for Denver. Maybe it was a statement meant for anybody else who thought they saw weakness in the Warriors. You know, the people who thought their chemistry was off. You've heard all the raps. Their chemistry is off. Draymond Green's not physically right. They can't get back to being Golden State until Draymond is right. Yeah, maybe last night was not for the Warriors or for the Nuggets or for any other NBA team. Or maybe it was. Or maybe it was for anybody who thought that these guys were cracking and the dynasty was over. I'm not going to say that Golden State's back because they never left. But I'll say this. Playing the best team in the West, the Warriors played their most complete game of the season. And now they've got Boogie Cousins making his debut on Friday night. In other words, it is still Golden State and everybody else. They are still the team to beat.
Ha!
Ha! Ha! You have one, I have 11. Ha! Pay me.
Ha!
Ha! All right, so starting with Golden State. Other NBA news. How about Philadelphia and Minnesota? That was so good. I've got thoughts on that, which I will get to later on. 1-800-636-8686. NFC Championship game, Rams at the Saints. AFC Championship game, Pats at the Chiefs. Got to break both those down. I want to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. How about Jerry Jones? He was nowhere to be found after the Rams punked them, when Jerry's always somewhere to be found. He's not hard to find. He was hard to find that night. But then he finally got around to talking about how their season ended and made the statement that Jason Garrett probably would have gotten five offers to be a head coach if he was a free agent. Hey-o. Come on, Jerry, really? I want to talk about that, too. Philadelphia Phillies not only trying to get Bryce Harper, they're trying to get everybody. You know what? Here's a topic that I never, ever want to talk about ever again. Never thought that I would. Larry Nassar. Man, there's some idiots in Michigan State. Really reprehensible, deplorable people at that school. Still. So I never want to talk about that again, but I'm going to have to. And I'll tell you why that is later on. Jameis Winston has got a new head coach, and not a second too soon. First email of the day reads, Rome, we agree. Denver is legit and will remain legit. Signed, the Texans in the NFL. John in Huntington Beach. No, I'm telling you, they were, they might still be. But they ran into a freaking buzzsaw last night. Rome, I didn't run into a buzzsaw. I ran into a bunch of trees when I went down. Duh. Yours, Jay Denver. Plane crash smack. Yeah, it's good, Aaron. Hey, Aaron, you're blocked. Alvin.
Block!
Yeah, a really, really good guy who made lots and lots of people really happy died in a plane crash. Hey, Aaron, too soon. Like, I don't care when that happened. It's always going to be too soon. There's never an appropriate time.
Block!
I don't know. I mean, the job that I have is a really good job, and it's not that hard of a job, although I work really hard at the job. But at what point did I give off the vibe that that's the kind of show that I was going to do? At what point did I encourage John Denver emails? Never. Who the hell are you listening to? Hey, Jim, love the show. I'd love to come on your weekly podcast. Call me, and we can talk specifics. I would charge a small appearance fee, though. I could use a couple of bucks. Regards, Chris Hansen.
I am Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
War Chris Hansen appearing on a new show called How to Catch a Bum Who Keeps Writing Bad Checks. Dan in Denver, RTN. You must not follow me on Twitter, Dan. Mark in Hollywood suggested we clear the entire first hour with that story. And I retweeted that and just wrote, no. You must not follow me on Twitter. Drew in West LA tweets, War posing as a payday advance loan shark in bad credit chat rooms to bring down Hansen. Yeah, I guess if you're the guy who hosts To Catch a Predator and you float a few checks, you rubberize a few checks, and now you're going to prison. Probably we should expect this, but not on my show.
I want to meet you and fool around. Are you up to meeting tonight, hon?
Den Lesks. Hey, Jim. Can you do all of your interviews in hour one? I would like to listen to all 3 hours, but I've got to bounce. Signed, Chris Hansen's checks.
Actually, I find it quite attractive.
Not talking about it. What's that? What's that noise, Alvin? Oh, I get it. That's like something bouncing. Like Hansen's checks. That's good, Alvin. You're happy with that. Probably happy with your celebration of obesity. Obesity achievement alarm. Announcement. My bad. All right. John Rahm coming up later on this hour. Second hour is wide open. TJ Dillashaw in hour number three. Julian Love also in hour three. Don't wreck my show. Do you dream of waking up well-rested? Then say hello to Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products at not-so-outrageous prices. They started with mattresses. Now they've got pillows, sheets, and more to fully transform your sleep. As a Casper sleeper, I can tell you the mattress is a game changer. It combines four layers of pressure-relieving foams for all-night comfort. It is softer under your shoulders and firmer under your hips. That sets up for healthy alignment. Casper has everything you need to create the perfect sleeping environment. You'll also get free shipping, free returns, and a risk-free trial with all your products. Today is the perfect time to upgrade your sleep. Casper's MLK weekend sale is happening right now. Enjoy $100 off when you spend $1,000 or more. Then Casper will send you another $25 for later on. That way you can stock up on even more snooze supplies. Get $100 off your purchase of $1,000 or more at Casper.com. Casper.com. Terms and conditions apply. Additional fees may apply for Hawaii and Alaska. Casper.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Next segment, John Rahm, who has never been on the program. Already, Pat Perez, F66. And I was fired up to see he posted that on his Instagram page, and it was getting a lot of positive reaction. And a lot of you who have listened to it are giving it a lot of positive reaction. You have to hear this. And I know a few of you still have not figured out how to use or find podcasts. I will help you with that. It is worth it. What I'm saying is, and this is really critical, I'm not just here to shill. Well, I am. But my point about this is, the conversation I have with Pat Perez is something I can never do on this show. You would never, ever hear something like that on this show. That's why we do a podcast, to have conversations that we cannot do on this show. It's amazing. Premium content, and it's free. You just have to find it, subscribe to it, and then it will find you every single week. That's the point of the podcast, so I can do stuff that I can't do here. And I first got that idea in my head when I was hosting Jim Rome on Showtime. That was the kind of show where I could do and say things and have people come on and do and say things that I could never do on terrestrial or even satellite radio. Maybe satellite. Jeremy and Scotty tweets, "Very brave to have your evil alter ego, John Rahm, on the program." Thanks, Jeremy. Jim Rome, John Rahm, hey. A lot of funny stuff going on today. None of it from you clones, though. "Dear Rome, thank you for the national freaking holiday that you declared yesterday. Not only did we get to talk about and listen to countless emails and tweets consisting of the fattest jungle heroes of all time, but you also blessed us with a terrific podcast full of plenty of raunchy F-bombs and great stories. Thanks for declaring January 15th the fattest F-bombing day of the year. You're the best, Rome." Aaron in Omaha. "War Rome going into detail about how Pat Perez met his wife without using a Private Winslow reference. I said yesterday, I knew as soon as you heard that story, you were going to want me to reset that story here on this show. I can't do it. That's why there's the podcast."
Private.
It's private. It's not so private. Just go to the podcast. Again, this guy did. Van Smack. "I cannot thank you enough for that epic podcast with Pat Perez. You talk about a regular Joe that shoots straight and will tell it like it is. Wow. Number one out of the 66 podcasts so far. I met him while I was working at the U.S. Open 2 years ago at Erin Hills. What a genuinely nice guy. He signed almost every autograph that people put in front of him. John and Wisco wore Pat Perez winning a major. Can you freaking imagine the stories that he'd have to tell after that?" God, you know my favorite part about that? Aside from him coming on and him showing up the way he did, I had never spoken to him before. And for a guy like that to show up on that podcast and show out and deliver the way he did was amazing. Jumpman. Klay Thompson threw down four dunks in a single game. That's insane. Yours, Jim Harbaugh, offering a scholarship to a seventh grade quarterback. Brandon and the Natty. Man, could that guy's act be any more played? Could that guy's act be any more tired? At least that's not a look at me move. And here I am offering a seventh grader. Here I am in the living room of a first grader. Here's a picture of me offering a kindergartner. Yeah, we've been tracking you since you came out of the womb. We have never seen a three-year-old with your tendencies. Sign here. You know what? I've done this a long time, and we've never seen an ultrasound like this. Sign right here. Come on, what a bag move. Signing a seventh grader. Like, where are you going with that, Jim? Is that to imply that, hey, I'm not going anywhere? I'm going to be here. I'm a Michigan man. I signed a seventh grader. Or now you're just trying to be a bag and let us know. Ha. Brendan in the Natty. War Patrick Anthony Perez. Silk Bra's in. He tweets, I bought a Casper mattress and woke up arrested. Yours, Sea Hands. Hey, blah.
Loud.
Blah.
Blah.
Blah. Blah.
Blah.
Blah. That tweets blah.
Blah.
And Steve PHX tweets, I didn't know it was under 18. Regards, Chris Hansen checking his credit score.
I can't control my horny level.
See, that's the thing. I mean, if you're that guy and you do that show and you have that approach and that attitude, you know, you best not do something like this. You best not start rubberizing checks. You best not get on the wrong end of the law, essentially, in any way, shape, or form. Especially doing that. Steve in Cincinnati called yesterday. And even I had to admit, Alvin was feeling it. And again, Alvin's got the authority, the autonomy, and the responsibility. He can run a guy whenever he wants. I mean, it's a misnomer. I'm not the one with the hammer. Alvin is. As an example, Steve in the Natty called yesterday, and this happened. Let's go to the Natty. Steve in Cincinnati. Good to have you, Steve. How are you?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Hey. That was fun. Rack him.
You don't like that car.
I don't like that car.
All right, so I had a little more patience. Alvin had none. Notice, if you watch the show on TV, there's no button on my desk. I don't hit that button. Alvin does because he can, and I trust him. This guy's back. He thinks that Alvin ran him too quickly, and the truth is I agree with him. Alvin, you did run him too quickly. He's back for redemption quickly. Let's go to the Natty. Steve. Hey, Steve, how are you? What's up?
I wanted to call back after Al ran me out of town yesterday like Rick Pitino. I got a question. If you are the...
That's not a good car. No. You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
Hey, Steve. Yesterday, he may have run you unfairly. Today, he left you on too long. You should have been run long before that. Today. Hey, Steve, maybe it's just me and maybe I'm being unfair, but was that a joke about Rick Pitino not lasting that long? Because that's how it sounded to me. Yesterday, that might have been unfair. Today, Broham, you got exactly what you deserved. Stop calling. All right, if any of you think that you can handle the responsibility, here is the phone number. It is toll-free. 1-800-636-8686. Do better. Do better. Still ahead. I want to talk about the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones loving his coach. Now, we know this. We know he loves Ginger. But for him to lay out and say, hey, listen, if this guy were a free agent, he'd have at least five other offers. Jason Garrett would have five other offers. You know, Mike McCarthy, who had Aaron Rodgers and won a Super Bowl and was in the playoffs like every single year he was there, didn't get any offers. But Jason Garrett would have five. All right, Jerry, if you say so. Got John Rahm coming up next. We've been trying to find him for a long time, and I think we got it. That is scheduled for next segment.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are talking a lot of golf. I mentioned I've got a Pat Perez podcast up right now. We're going to be broadcasting live from Torrey Pines next week. And as promised, we are joined right now by a PGA Tour pro. He is currently number 7 in the world golf rankings, the 2016 Jack Nicklaus National Player of the Year at Arizona State. 6 professional wins, a Ryder Cup winner. The Desert Classic starts tomorrow at La Quinta Country Club. John Rahm is my guest. John, great to have you on. How are you?
Good. How are you, Jim?
Good, good, John. So you had a top 10 finish at the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. Now you're right back at it this week in La Quinta, where you won last year, John. How does your game feel right now?
Feeling very good. It's been very nice to have a little bit of a break after Hawaii and get to swing back to non-30-mile-an-hour wind golf.
That helps.
Very enjoyable and very, very ready for this week.
All right, so what about this week? As I mentioned, you are the defending champ there. So does it feel like there's added pressure because of that, or maybe is it a little bit easier because you know that track and you know you've won there in the past?
I don't think there's added pressure, only if you put it on yourself. The one thing that shows is that, you know how to win in this golf course. So unless there's a major difference, like the weather being extremely different or one of the courses that we play changing, you know, you should have the self-confidence that you know you can win there and you don't need to know anything special to win.
John Rahm, my guest, you know, I'm looking back at your last year and it was a fascinating year in the sense that you had three wins, you had a Ryder Cup win, but you did it all over the world. You won in La Quinta, Madrid, Paris, and the Bahamas. As somebody who prides himself on being a player that can play anywhere in the world, how good did it feel to win all over the world?
It's definitely a really special feeling, right? It's a European golfer to be able to win in the European Tour this year and last year, and then, you know, as a Spanish player, to be able to win in Madrid, capital of Spain, you know, the home golf course of the Spanish Golf Federation, that was very special. To be able to win Tigers event, you know, something that we all look up to. It's very special to just get an invite to play, and to be able to win it is really, really special, as well as being able to win here in California, which apparently I like the state as a pro. We sent 2-for-2 in California, so hopefully I can keep it going this year.
It's a good state, right? John Rahm joining us. You mentioned Tiger, and you won his tournament. You also beat him in Ryder Cup play last year, 2-1 in singles play. Can you take me back before that match? What was your reaction when you saw that you would be facing him in the singles? Then how'd you go about preparing for that round?
It was about 7 p.m., and I was in the player locker room waiting for my fiancée, Kelly, to come back from the merchandise stand. And they gave me the pin sheet, right? The pin sheet, the tee-off sheet. And I knew I was going to be fourth in line. So I see, okay, I start looking down. First group, Rory, Justin Thomas, okay. Second group, Paul Casey, Brooks, Justin Rose, Webb Simpson. And then I'm like, you know, I knew Tiger in years past is like to tee off late because he can handle the pressure and he likes it. And when I see my name and I see TW right after that, I'm like, oh, right. You know, he won last week. None of us had won a point yet that week, so I knew he was going to want to do it really, really badly. He was going to want to win it really, really badly. So it was going to, you know, be a battle to the death because one of us was going to go undefeated unless we tied the match, right? So, sorry, one of them was going to be winningless that week. So it was going to be definitely much more than just losing a match and at the same time to be against Tiger. Extremely special, and to be able to clinch it out with a birdie in one of the most difficult holes in the course. Definitely a moment I won't forget.
Now, what a great story. John Rahm joining us. So one more thought about that. You grew up watching him, and then you're facing him in the Ryder Cup, and not only that, you beat him. So what's the moment like after the match when you shake hands with him?
Well, after I had that explosion of emotion, of celebration come out, I turned around and I saw he was coming towards me, right, as when I took my hat, and the first thing I had to do was apologize because I feel bad. I mean, it is Tiger Woods. I have a great deal of respect towards Tiger as a golfer and as a person. So I apologized. He said, I mean, man, you deserved it. You played great all day. And I made sure I let him know what an honor that was for me. I'm sure he's heard that before, but I kind of have to get it out of my chest. And right after that, I started crying. You know, tears coming down my eyes. And then I saw my teammates, my family. My dad was crying as well. Kelly was more excited than anything. She was very, very pumped as an athlete. She understands what something like that means. So, a lot of emotion. It was the first full point for Europe, which definitely shifted the momentum for the U.S., right, because they had a lot going on early on, and being able to get a good point and get into 11.5 was definitely a big, big thing. So it was extremely special, but, you know, I did cry for a little while.
PGA Tour pro John Rahm joining us. You know, John, you mentioned your dad. I'm glad you did, because if I look at your career at Arizona State, if we go back a little bit, a lot of people know about you as a golfer, but some do not know how impressive you are away from the course. Growing up in the Basque region, you were a very good golfer, but your father really wanted you to go to America. He wanted you to get a college degree. Why was that something that was so important to him?
You know, he got an education. My mom got an education. They were able to do a lot of things, besides work, and he always told me, you know, John, there's 24 hours in a day, 8 are for sleeping, you got 16 hours during the day to go to class, play golf, and enjoy, right? So there's plenty of time if you organize yourself, and I always understood the importance of an education, but I think more than that, they just wanted me to go to college and enjoy it because they knew how much fun they had in Spain, right? So it happened through multiple, you know, times in my career. He also pushed me to go to a golf academy in Madrid, which was going to make me able to play golf and practice more and become a better golfer. And then in the States, the way he put it, it was, you know, John, you should always go ahead and try. Just go and try. You go for a year. If you don't like it, you come back. You get your degree here in Spain. You keep playing golf. Worst thing is going to happen if you come back is that you learn English, which, you know, being Spanish, being able to speak Spanish and English is going to be a great thing for the future. And then I came. I loved it, and I stayed and graduated. I also promised them I was going to graduate, that I was not going to turn pro before finishing my degree. So despite the possible temptations after playing good as an amateur. But it was something I promised, something I wanted to do, and I'm really, really glad that I did it because, you know, that process in college got me better prepared and more ready to become a professional golfer.
My guest is John Rahm. I guess we're glossing over one small thing, John. You touched on this. You had to learn English, all right? So to set the stage, you go to Arizona State. You didn't just barely squeeze by either, by the way. You got a 3.6 in your first semester, but you had to learn English at the same time. Exactly how did you go about doing that?
Well, when I hear this, I mean, people make it sound like my English was a lot better, a lot worse than it was. Okay. Obviously, it's a lot better now, but it wasn't the best. Learning UK English, I was used to, you know, listening to that accent and the type of slang that they use in the UK. And then coming to the States and having to live in English is a completely different story, right? I can't get by like I do on the golf course, knowing the bare minimum. So it was a lot to learn. I also didn't have time because of my visa coming in late to do an official visit. I had no idea. I'd never been to the States before, so it was a lot more than just learning English, right? Learn the college, American college way of life, how to learn everything, right? So, but when it comes to the language, I mean, it was a long process, right? If you told me, if you asked me a question like you've been doing right now, I have to translate word by word what it means, right? Translate it to Spanish, understand it, think what I want to say in Spanish, and then translate it to English and say it. So that could be a pretty long process. And quite frankly, I'm very shy when it comes to things like that. So a lot of times I would just say yes or no to whatever they asked me, even if it wasn't a yes or no question. So there was some rough times. But once my hearing got better, once my understanding of the language got better, about a month, 2 months into college, started getting better, and it was a little bit easier. It is kind of ironic that I did graduate getting my communications major after that. So. You know, there was a lot of moments where I definitely got in trouble just because I had no idea what I was being asked to do. It was just as simple as that. Even I believe my coach, Tim Mickelson, didn't think I was going to make it past the first few weeks. But I'm glad I proved him wrong.
Hey, listen, I'm always awed. I've done this a long, long time, John. I'm always awed by people who come on a show like this and do an interview in a second language. Now, is this one of those stories that kind of follows along with it? Or did Eminem and Kendrick Lamar actually help you with the language? Is that true?
Okay, I didn't learn grammar or how to speak English from that, okay? It's kind of hard to learn it from that. You're going to learn a lot of bad words and a lot of bad things to say. But what I learned, besides enjoying the music, what I learned by memorizing the lyrics was how to pronounce and enunciate in a faster pace and just how to learn how to pronounce some words. It was basically like an exercise, right? Like, you know, one of those tongue twisters that you learn in speaking classes. It was basically the same thing. I was sitting there trying to learn all these fast-paced songs, and at one point, I got it dialed in. So it just helped me carry on conversations in a faster pace. It definitely helped me when it came to public speaking. It was definitely a tool. It wasn't meant to be that. I was just thought it was cool to be able to learn the songs. And a couple of my teammates did it very easily. So it was just an enjoyable time to me. I enjoyed the process, and you know, without knowing, it was helping my English.
Right, so before I let you go, what about Tempe? I mean, you had so many things going on. You had to learn the language. You had to deal with the new country. I mean, so many different things to deal with. What about Tempe overall and the college experience? What was that like?
Oh, it was great. I mean, it was the greatest 4 years of my life. So you have no worries compared to this class schedule that I had in high school. I mean, because of our golf practice, right, we could only have class from 8 in the morning or 7:30 till noon and then after 6 p.m. So you couldn't really have that many classes. And then one thing I learned in college that I didn't know is I thought you had to have class every single day. right? My first year, I did it that way. I didn't know that's what I was used to, right? You're mandatory to go every single day, but I didn't know you could actually organize your classes around to actually maybe skip a couple of days. So for 3 years of my life, I never had class on Friday. And my last 2 years, I never had class on Friday or Monday. So my weekends were 4 days long, which makes college a lot more fun because you have 4 days to do whatever you want in practice. And you know, Tempe is a great town. I mean, there is so many students in Arizona State. It's almost like a city. Bear in mind, I come from Barica, Spain, which is a town of 1,200 people on the best day in summer, right? So going to ASU that has 75,000 students, it's a little bit of a change.
It's incredible.
It was definitely a lot of fun. A lot of golf practice. A lot of time to enjoy with my teammates. A lot of things to do in Tempe. I highly recommend it if anybody's thinking of going to Arizona State.
And that's why your parents told you got to go there and get a degree and get an education, because it's the best time. So last thought, John, you're going to defend this week at the La Quinta Country Club, the Desert Classic starting tomorrow. You had a great run at the Masters last year. What was it like the first time you stepped foot on Augusta? Do you remember what that first round was like?
Oh, my first round? Well, my first teacher at Augusta National was a straight duck hook into the trees. Not right. The best, but I did get my par on the first hole. It's definitely a very special feeling driving down Magnolia Lane as a golfer for the first time. You know, Augusta National is somewhere where everybody wants to play. It's unique. It's definitely one of a kind, and it's something that you're only going to experience once. But even now, every time we go back to Augusta and you drive again, it just feels the same way. You know, you get that those goosebumps, you get those butterflies in the stomach, and all you want to do is just go and play golf. It's definitely a fun track. I know it's hard to get in, but if anybody has ever a chance, I would suggest dropping anything you have going on to go and play.
The Desert Classic gets underway tomorrow at La Quinta Country Club. He is number 7 in the world golf rankings, 6 professional wins, a Ryder Cup winner. John, that was such an awesome conversation. I'm so glad you made time for that. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate you. That was so much fun.
No, the pleasure was mine. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, John. Have a great day. Really appreciate you making time for it. John Rahm. All right, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. He is number 7 in the world golf rankings, and we've been trying to set that up for a long time. What an amazing conversation for so many different reasons. I mean, college is pretty challenging academically, if you know the language. Also, I didn't get into it, but when he showed up at Arizona State, he sits down, legend has it, he sits down with a pencil and a notebook when everybody else had laptops, and he was still learning the language. And again, did not just squeak by. He had a 3.6 GPA. It's a nice track. La Quinta. Desert Classic getting it away tomorrow. As I mentioned, we are talking a lot of golf. The Pat Perez podcast is up right now. I will reset that. John Rahm for the first time in the jungle. And next week, we will be broadcasting live from Torrey Pines. So we're hitting golf hard to start the year. And then the week after, I head to Atlanta for a week of Super Bowl coverage. And Hitman Canadian tweets, big deal. He learned English. You can't recite the alphabet as good as me. Signed Tiger. Don't even do it. Or go ahead and do it. Anyway, and don't do that. It was amazing the story he told about beating Tiger Woods in Ryder Cup play, wasn't it? That he got so emotional, he started crying, and he apologized. He apologized. That's how much respect he has for Tiger Woods. That, you know, grew up watching him, idolizing him, and then all of a sudden matched up with him in Ryder Cup play in a critical match, beats him, and afterwards is so overwhelmed by the emotion of the thing, by the win, by what he did for his team, and that he beat one of his idols. Great story. All right, your thoughts. If you can do better than what that guy just did, Hitman Canadian, I'll take your thoughts. If not, keep them to yourself. Second hour is open. And by that, I mean no interviews. Open phone lines. Third hour is busier. Back-to-back with TJ Dillashaw and Julian Love. And I've got a lot of good content for you. Stay tuned. Second hour straight ahead. I am Jim Rome. You're in the jungle. Phone lines are open. Do not go anywhere.